Hi, everyone. This is Dave Charest, Content Manager here at Constant Contact, and welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Today, I am once again joined with lovely faces around the table, and let's start with Miss Danielle Cormier.
I am Danielle, and I am a social media specialist here at Constant Contact, and I am drinking a fantasy football Bud Light.
Yeah, fantasy football season. I'm Josh Mendelson. I work in product marketing here at Constant Contact, and for 2 weeks in a row, rocking a Harpoon IPA.
That's all the guy drinks.
I'm Azure Collier. I'm a social media education developer, and I am once again drinking a Magners and the pear flavor.
Mmm, yummy. So recently we had a joint webinar with Facebook for nonprofits on strategies to grow your nonprofit organization on Facebook. And today, so we wanted to take some time today to specifically talk about some of the questions we got at this webinar. So those of you who couldn't make it live, or those of you who are just listening in again, maybe get some more insights to help you out with those things. So the first question that we have is, how can we integrate Facebook into the things we're doing offline? Anybody want to tackle that first?
Sure. I think it's actually relatively simple. Anywhere you're promoting anything, include a link to your Facebook page. I mean, usually it's about awareness. So you've got customers that you're interacting with, whether that's on the phone, on your website, through email, whatever it is, you want to tell them, if it's a big goal to get all of your customers on Facebook, you've just got to tell them and give them a reason. Some people will just like you on Facebook because they like you in real life. Mm-hmm. Others will do it for a special discount or a coupon or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's all about promotion. It's all about getting the message in front of people. Generally, if they like your business, they'll like you on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Another way to think about it, too, is if let's say you're running an event or you're doing things offline, maybe you can host images or do those things on Facebook after the fact so that when people come to an event, you say, hey, make sure you check out the images or the photos from the event on Facebook. So that drives people to your Facebook page and, encourages them to like the page to see the photos and things like that. And one of the things that I've done for a nonprofit theater that I work with is, we'll do exclusive videos on Facebook first. So we'll set up a landing page for that. We'll set up, like the page to see the video. And before we release it to just general from YouTube, we'll have it there for a week on the Facebook page. So that's a way to drive people there to say, if you want to see it first, go to our Facebook page. So there are ways to just kind of think about how you're integrating your stuff that you're doing offline after the fact to get people to your Facebook page.
I help with my local United Way. I do their event social media. And so one of the things we do is with the volunteers, leading up to the event, we tell them, hey, we're going to be putting pictures on Facebook. Here's where you can find it. Mm-hmm. The day of, the kickoff, verbally tell them, we're giving them instructions. Don't forget to post your photos on Facebook. And we have people taking pictures, so tag yourselves. Mm-hmm. Sending a follow-up email. Being on Facebook, addressing all of our followers, look for your photos, tag yourself. So mm-hmm. just making sure it's part of the checklist of things to do.
Yeah.
And that way people are used to it when they attend your events.
Yeah. So it really sounds like, one, make yourself a checklist and say, okay, if you're doing something offline, make sure that we're letting those people know that are coming in for something specific to know that we have a Facebook page and that where it exists, what the URL to that is. And then also look for ways to use whatever event you're running and have some after-event or pre-event thing where it involves people going to Facebook to check that stuff out. So just look for ways that you can kind of integrate that into what you're doing. So another question that we have here is, talks about the idea of getting your page posts to surface on your fans' daily news feeds. So is there anything that a small business can do to make sure that their posts appear there? Danielle?
I would say the most important thing is to make sure that you're posting good, engaging, quality posts, and that way you're going to get that engagement you're looking for, and more people are going to see your posts, and their friends are going to see when they're liking or sharing or commenting on those posts. So don't worry about formulas or Facebook or really paying to sponsor your posts, but just make sure you're posting actually good quality things that...
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a great point, right, is that, a lot of times we spend a lot of time comparing ourselves to either an average or another business, when really what you want to be thinking of is, you know, what are your business's goals? What are you trying to accomplish? Or I should say nonprofit, because we're actually really answering these questions. So, you know, what are the goals for your nonprofit? What are you trying to accomplish? And make a baseline for yourself. See where that number gets you, and then how you can improve on that number for yourself. And don't worry about what the other averages are, what people are seeing.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, when you talk about nonprofits, there's usually a lot of passion involved
mm-hmm.
for the cause that you're driving, and that makes Facebook a great venue for most nonprofits, because people want to talk about things publicly and they want to rally behind a cause. It's mm-hmm. a great environment for that. So, you know, like Danielle said, I think just focus on posting things that you find interesting, that support your cause, and you should develop a followership. Or keep your followership engaged. Is that even a word, followership?
Followership? It's like the Fellowship of the Ring.
Exactly.
I don't know, precious.
You know, keep your audience really engaged, because they're there because they want to talk about the issue that you're supporting. So I think just, you know, don't overthink it. Talk like you would to anyone you met, you know, at a fundraising event.
Yeah. Unlike other businesses, I think nonprofits have an advantage too, because they really can play the heartfelt card and show something that's going to make someone feel an emotion, whether it's sympathy or joy or sadness.
Yeah.
You can really play that up with being a nonprofit.
And as a user of Facebook too, I mean, if you use Facebook, make sure you pay attention when you log in. You probably, you know, if you're with a nonprofit, you probably like other nonprofits. So what are the things you're seeing? What are the things you're clicking on?
Mm-hmm.
And that can help you figure out, you know, more than likely,
yeah.
your followers would be interested in that stuff too.
Another thing I want to add here to this too is, you know, maybe think about how you use your email lists with this whole thing, right? Because basically Facebook is pulling the strings on who sees what and who does what. And they're kind of in control of how that all works. But if you're interested in getting more people engaging with your content, maybe you think about doing some type of little digest or talk about what's happening on Facebook in your email list. Like, you know, have that as a section on your newsletter. When you send that out, you're driving people to actually go check that out. So you're actually sending people there. And that might be a way to really think about getting more engagement and really drive or have an effect on what happens with your posts.
Yeah, like check out the photos from this event, or check out the
photo
most
of
successful
the week.
Post from last month, something like that.
So, and next question, as we're on the topic of posting, the question that comes in is, how often do you suggest posting? I've heard every day, but can't that get a little overwhelming?
I think there's two sort of rules of thumb. One is, when you have something good to say, say it. When you don't have something to say, it's like, you know, like your mom told you, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But also, I think know your audience too. I mean, some causes or businesses or whatever it is, you know, it's a super engaged audience who wants to hear from you every day.
Yeah.
Others, it's a little bit more passive. So I think, you know, you can figure out the point at which you're annoying people, you're not delivering value.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you have something worth saying, most people will respond either neutrally or positively, not in a negative way.
Yeah, be consistent. I would say you don't have to post every day, but also don't go 2 weeks without posting anything. Then you're going to start to be forgotten.
Yeah.
Or if I go to your page and I want to see if I want to like you, and the last thing you posted was, you know, back in the spring, I'm going to think they're not giving me anything useful. Forget it.
I wonder about the overwhelming question. Is it overwhelming for the people that follow you, or is it overwhelming for the person trying to post every day? And so both ways, I mean, both are important. And I would say, you know, if we're talking about overwhelming yourself as the person managing the page, is there are things to think about is now that Facebook does allow you to schedule posts ahead of time. So if you had some time on a Sunday, you know, you sit down and you say, okay, this week I'm going to post these five posts Monday through Friday and schedule them all at once, so you don't actually have to worry about that. And then, you know, again, I'm going to plug NetShout Mail. You know, you go in, then you can follow up on any activity that's been had around those posts just through a daily digest email, so it becomes less overwhelming for you.
Yeah, I think it's better if you take an hour and think, what do I want to post? What's going to get a lot of engagement?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than feeling, oh, I need to post something right now. Like, let me think of something on the fly and throw something up there. So I think taking that extra few minutes to think about what you're posting is
maybe
also
having
helpful.
Like a list or something, when you have ideas, just write it down. And then when, you know, sort of like it's called evergreen content, you can use it anytime.
Yeah.
So just thinking about, you know, if I haven't said anything in a while, but I want to talk to them, this could be interesting to them. Take it from your list.
Great. So the next question is, how do we promote an organization that deals with a sensitive issue? is a very sensitive topic.
Carefully.
Carefully, yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. And I think the first question to ask is, if you're dealing with a sensitive issue, is Facebook the right place to be doing that? And I think that's okay to ask that question. I mean, I know we're promoters of using these channels because there are lots of people involved there. But maybe there's a different way to go about it. It might not be the right place.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there are some good things you can do, you know, sort of thinking about it, providing educational resources and you know, there's videos, tips for dealing with difficult situations. There's things you can post, but I do wonder if you're on a very sensitive topic, you know, the people who would be fans of your page or want information from you, they may not want to trigger the social action where it says Dave liked X, you know, to their audience. So I agree. I mean, I think there are ways to set up private forums. Mm-hmm. You know, Facebook groups are more private, but not completely private. But I think you really want to think about, like, what's going to work for the people you're trying to serve best. And Facebook may not be the answer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen some studies that really show that you need to be focusing on what your brand says about the person that likes you and not necessarily what your brand says about your brand. And people aren't going to like embarrassing things, even if they like them in real life on Facebook, or sensitive subjects, all sorts of different things like that. So make sure someone else would want to be proud to say they liked your page. So
maybe you use other resources like email.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and I almost wonder, you know, I don't know that Facebook would want to go down this road, but if there was like a like privately option, you know, where you could, you know, opt into communications from a certain page without telling your entire network.
Yeah. You can also subscribe to a page and that doesn't show up in your
newsfeed.
Oh,
that's interesting. That's a good option.
You're not technically liking them.
But does that doesn't show up as Dave subscribed to blah,
I thought
blah,
it
blah.
Does on your profile. It shows you who you subscribe to.
I think that you can make that private, though. Yeah. But it can be public.
So that's certainly one option.
Yeah. So I think this points out an interesting point, is that you'd want to investigate what the privacy options are on those types of things if it's a sensitive issue. And it may be something that's education-based, where you have to tell your followers that, hey, look, we'd love if you'd like to follow us on Facebook, you know, and we know it's a sensitive issue, you can go here and change settings so that people don't actually see the activity that goes on. Like, I mean, there is an education element there.
Well, maybe it's good to set expectations up front. In your about section, this is what we're sharing here. So that maybe people feel more comfortable liking you because they know they're going to get resources instead of something else.
Yeah.
Cool. And our final question for today is there a way to create a Facebook page without using a personal account to link it to? And the answer is yes, there is. And there's a particular link that you need to follow in order to do that. So we'll include that in the kind of transcript of the show or the show note page here. So you'll find that at the end of the post. But one thing I do want to point out is that, you know, you may think, oh, well, then maybe I'll just create a fake profile and do something like that. And that's actually not the best thing to do.
Yeah, Facebook frowns on that.
And they're cracking down.
And they are cracking
down
on
the fake profiles.
So if you do that, that's right. I said it. If you do that, you run the risk of losing your page entirely. Because if you're the only admin for that page and they find out that that's a fake account, they could shut it down, and that means you lose all rights to that page. And if you're no longer the admin of the page, there's nobody else that, unless somebody else is connected to it, there's no way to kind of get that back. So there is a way to do it. We will link to the page on, again, like I said, on the show page here, so you can find out how to do that. Danielle, do we have any Facebook tips for people today, for nonprofits
in
particular?
The nonprofit Facebook tip would be to add milestones. The great thing about nonprofits is they have a lot of history, so go ahead and add all the different milestones. It's pretty easy. You can add it right in the status, and you can go to schedule the post, but then just schedule it for the time when it happened in the past.
Great. Thanks so much for listening. Hope this was helpful for you, and we'll catch you next time. Bye now.